Let's pray. Father, we again open your word this morning with anticipation. Thank you, Lord, for the precious gift of your word that we even have this morning. Think of so many places around the world where that isn't even possible. So, Lord, help us not to take your word for granted, but to go to it, recognizing it as your word and as a precious gift, Lord, to know your truths. I pray, Lord, that your word again this morning would bring us to the point of not only showing us Christ, but it would show us ourselves in light of who Christ is. Show us the condition of our hearts. Show us what our response needs to be to you today. And so may your Spirit be at work as our teacher in each of our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we come to the end of our short series on the Word of God this morning. And it's really been my prayer through this series that we would, as a result of our time in the Word, about the Word, that we would desire the Word more than ever before. And that we would delight in the Word as we would spend more time in it. That we would depend on the Word, knowing what it can do to change and transform our lives, and that we would be better equipped to defend the Word in a culture that desperately needs to know the truth. This book does not contain the Word of God. This book is the Word of God. And God has given us everything we need to know about who He is in His holiness. It has given us everything we need to know about ourselves in our sinfulness, and it has given us everything we need to know about Christ and what He has done to rescue us. The Bible tells us about heaven. The Bible tells us about hell. The Bible tells us about forgiveness and how to have peace with God and what eternal hope is and everything we need to live our lives every day to the glory of God. There is no other book like God's book, the Bible. You may ask, why is that? And the reason is, the answer is, because God's book is absolute truth. Psalm 119, verse 160 says, "The sum of your word is truth." It's the bottom line. This is truth. And that's significant and that's important because, as Jesus said in John chapter 8, the truth will ultimately set you free. And I think we're all looking for that, aren't we? And you may fully agree with that. In fact, you may fully agree with everything that we've said in this series. The fact that the Bible is inspired by God and that the Bible is God's redemptive story throughout human history. That the Bible is a book unified as 66 books written by 40 authors over a 1,500-year span of time. That the Bible is inerrant. The Bible is sufficient to tell us everything God wants us to know. But none of that is going to do us a whole lot of good if we don't actually get into the Word and get the Word into our own lives. You can believe everything about the Bible and not get into the Bible. And so you can believe everything about the Bible, but so what if you're not getting into it? So I'm intentionally ending this series on the most practical way I know how, and that is to help us and encourage us to get into the Word. We need to get into the Word so that the Word can get into us. And so how do we do that? I've given you 8 points this morning. I want you to know that these points are not just things I've made up through personal experience, though that would be the case. But these points I'm really pulling out of, actually almost all the points I'm pulling directly out of Psalm 119, and I was gracious and didn't ask anybody to read that entire psalm this morning. Jeff made his attempt to read some of it last week, but that was Psalm 19 that we were after. It's really hard to do a series on the Bible without making some reference to the 176 verses of Psalm 119, in which every single one of those verses is devoted to the Word of God. I would challenge you to read that chapter and just look at everything it says about the Word of God. I did that this week. What a great encouragement that was. And so we want to take a look at what do we need to do to get into the Word. Let's begin. Number one, we need to read the Word. We're going to start with the most simplistic thing here. We need to read the Word. Psalm 119, 30 and 31. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. And I just want you to know right off the bat, notice the intentionality of the psalmist. I have chosen, I set, I cling. I've been doing, I've begun to do again some running this summer, and I have to be honest with you and tell you that I don't always like to do it. But I do it because the results are good for me and because I appreciate what happens as a result, because I sleep better, I have more energy, and there's a lot of other things that go along with that. It's really the same thing with the Word of God and getting into the Word of God. And let's be honest with each other, we don't always feel like getting into the Word, do we? And sometimes life gets busy, and sometimes our mind gets to onto everything we need to do today, and so sometimes we neglect the Word. But it pays to be in the Word, doesn't it? And sometimes we feel the results of not being in the Word, don't we? But we need to be intentional because of what it does to our hearts and what it does to transform our lives. In a fairly recent poll, it said that 19% of people that claim to be born-again believers read their Bible every day. Okay, that leaves 81% that don't. Goes on to say 25% read the Bible a few times a week, 14% say they read their Bible once a week, 22% say once a month, and 18% rarely or never read their Bible. Now, I'm just curious, but how many of us would think nothing of skipping lunch today when we got home from church? Are you kidding me, right? Where's the food, you know? And there's nothing wrong with that, right? We all want to eat. We know our bodies need to eat. We need food and nutrition every day to sustain our physical bodies. But listen, it is no different as it relates to our spiritual lives. Our spiritual health is dependent on a steady diet of God's Word. There's simply no healthy Christian nor a victorious Christian apart from a diet of the milk and meat of Scripture. For it is only in the Word of God where we can learn who God is, how to be right with God, and what His ways and will is for our lives. No other place other than the Bible can this eternal and essential information be found. And so to know God and to be godly, we must spend time in His Word. And some people respond and say, well, you know what? I've got a Bible in my car, you know, I've got a Bible that I carry to church, I've got a Bible sitting on my nightstand at home. And I would say, you know what? The Bible was never intended, it was never given to us by God to be some good luck charm. You know, it's like, well, we got a Bible, you know, God's going to kind of have His favor on me now. No, that's not the case at all. It does nothing for us to have our Bibles closed. And I don't care if you've got 50 Bibles in your house. The Word of God was given to us to be opened and to be read. You know, and I was just thinking about this, if the truth were really known, how often do we give time for the words of men? How often do we give time for the words of men in what we watch on television and the things that we do online and the favorite magazines that we read? And yet, on the other hand, how often do we find ourselves too busy for the words of God? John chapter 10, verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Listen, in order to hear God's voice, we must open God's word. And so find a place that has limited distractions. Make a time that is part of your daily routine. Find a plan. If you don't have a plan to read God's word, it's very unlikely you will be in his word. And so do the plan we're doing as a church, reading through the Bible in 1 year. If that's too overwhelming, read through the New Testament in 1 year. If that's too much, start with one of the Gospels. I would suggest begin with reading the book of John. But do something. Ask people, ask other people, what are they doing? I just find, though, that if you don't have a plan, most people don't do anything at all. And so we need to be intentional of reading and getting into the Word. And if you need a Bible, you come see me and I'll make sure you have one before you leave today. Number two, we need to study the Word. Jerry Bridges said, "Reading the Word gives us breadth, but studying the Word gives us depth." Psalm 19, verse 33 says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes." Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Now, this may be, for some, it may be an intimidating point, because I think some people have the picture when you're studying God's word that they're picturing this guy with bifocals sitting at a desk with just all of these, you know, concordances and commentaries all over his desk, and he's just taking notes for hours at a time. You're going, I don't know how to do that. I'm not a scholar. I'm not a theologian. Well, this point isn't suggesting that at all. I am simply suggesting that we need to think through what we're actually reading. It's very simple. And you may say, well, there's so many things in the Bible I just don't understand. And sometimes some of it is hard to understand. But I find that consistent study of the Word will help me over a period of time put the pieces of the Bible together for me. The more I do it, the more it starts making sense. Oh, I mean, that's connected with this over here. And oh, I remember another verse that talked about that as well. So how do I do? Let me just give you four basic things of how to study the Word. And I'm trying to make this as clear and simple as possible, but just four, they're not in your outline, but I think maybe would be worthy to remember. Four things that have been very helpful to me. Number one is preparation. Under the study of the Word, preparation. And by preparation, I simply mean, before you get into the Word, ask the greatest teacher, the Holy Spirit, to give you illumination into the Word. I think so often we miss so much of what the Scriptures say because we have not asked. And so ask God, by His Spirit, to reveal His truth to you as you enter the Word and as you begin reading it. Second is observation. Okay, just again, some simple questions to ask. Who is the author writing to? Because that's going to give you some insight as to why he's saying what he's saying. What is the context in which he is writing? Which may mean you may need to read some verses before the passage you're into and after to give you a broader understanding of why he's saying what he's saying. Are there other verses in your Bible that can help you understand those verses better? Okay, now, sometimes some of your Bibles, as you open them, you'll have a concordance maybe in the middle or on the side. If you don't have that, which this one doesn't, you can go to the back and you'll have a concordance in the back. And you can look up key words, maybe a key word that's in the verse that you're studying. And you can look under that key word and you'll find a bunch of verses that deal with that particular subject. It's just an easy way to find other verses that relate to maybe what you're studying. Okay, so that's observation. Letter C is interpretation. Okay, and the question we're trying to answer here is, what is the author actually saying? Taking it at face value, that's really what we're going after here. I've been to some Bible studies where a leader will say, let's go around the circle and let's all say what we feel this passage is saying. Frankly, I'll tell you something. It doesn't matter what we feel, what the passage says. What matters is what the passage actually says. Okay? And so there's an original intent of everything that God had written in his book. Our job is to figure out what that original intent is. Not what we think it says, not what we feel it says, but what it actually does say. And that's why the preparation, observation, and interpretation are very, very important. And then the last thing is application. What is this text actually teaching me? What's it teaching me about God? What is it teaching me about myself, my own heart, my own condition at this point? Is there sin that I need to confess? Is there a promise I need to claim? Is there a direction I should go or not go based on what the truths of God's word is saying to me? The bottom line is, what is the main truth I need to understand from this passage and apply it to my life? Now, by doing those things, that doesn't mean that you're going to master the Bible by next week. But what it does mean is that God will begin using his word to help you grow in your understanding of the scriptures and will begin bringing about fruit and spiritual growth in your life. That's what we're after, right? That's what we want. That's what we're going for. And so we need to study the word. Number three, we need to memorize the word. Psalm 119, 54 and 55. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. Verse 61, Psalm 119. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. Psalm 119, verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Listen, to memorize the word of God is to keep your sword with you at all times. When temptation comes knocking and when discouragement comes whispering, being ready to aggressively address those things with the power of truth from God's word is how we gain victory in all of those areas. Exactly what Jesus did when he faced temptation in the wilderness. Okay, he didn't go running back into town to the synagogue and grab a scroll. Right? He knew the word. And you say, you know what? I'm just not very good at memorizing. You know what? I don't know too many people that are. I know a few people that really are really good at memorizing. And they memorize multiple passages of scripture and can memorize books of the Bible. I don't know too many of those people. But let me just add by saying this. If you can remember phone numbers and if you can remember the names of your friends, you can memorize scripture. And I'm saying that because I'm talking to myself here. Because I think I could easily say I'm not very good at memorizing scripture. It's been hard work for me, but it can be done. I just brought this with me. This is my memorization tool. It's called the Sword of the Spirit, and it says in the front of it to remind me, you can't win the battle without it, all right? And so in my spiral of index cards, I have a whole bunch of verses in here that I've memorized, and I'm still working on memorizing. I keep it in one place, that way I don't lose it. I can take it with me where I go. I often have it in my vehicle. Just don't tell anybody, okay? Sometimes I'll just glance at it and review those verses even as I'm driving. All right, don't tell anybody, okay? All right, just looking for opportunities, trying to use my time wisely, right? But listen, with some discipline, and I think with some daily review, I think you might be pleasantly surprised how successful you will be at memorizing scripture. It will better equip you to be ready for the battles. And as you memorize Scripture, what happens is that the Holy Spirit brings those verses to mind in the situations that you need those verses. I just find, I can't tell you how many times that memorizing certain verses God has used to bring victory in my life over sin and temptation. It's a tremendous tool, and I think God calls us to do that. Number four, meditate on the Word. Meditate on the Word. Psalm 119, 15 and 16. And I'm going to give you a number of references here. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Verse 23, even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Verse 27, I will meditate on your wondrous works. Verse 78, I will meditate on your precepts. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 148, my eyes are awake before the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promise. Meditating is a word, really the idea here is chewing on it, okay? Just like a cow chews its cud, right? That might sound kind of gross, but it's a perfect illustration of what meditation is. What meditation does is it opens the soil of our soul to let the water of God's word in and to let it sink in deeply. I find that when I'm in a hurry and when I'm just quickly reading through the word of God and when I'm just booming, I'm on my way, I don't retain much of what I just read. Maybe some of you are a whole lot better at that than I am, and I'm assuming some of you would be, But I don't retain much when I'm in a hurry. And so I think it's important sometimes to just quietly take a few minutes and just ponder what we've read. Think about it. What is God saying? Think about what we've been memorizing. As you're on a walk or something, just think about that verse. Let it digest. And as you allow it to brew in your brain, God reveals new insights into his word. Meditate on the word. Number five, pray the word. Pray the word. Don't know what to pray? Pray the scriptures. Start there. Pray God's truth back to God. That's praying according to God's will. And there is power in praying God's will back to him. Listen to what 1 John chapter 5 says, 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, is this the will of God? Yes, it's the will of God, okay? And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. Now, of course, there are prayers in the scriptures that we can use as models to pray. We can use the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. There's prayers of Paul in the epistles. I think a wonderful part of Scripture to pray is the Psalms. So many of the Psalms are prayers. But pray the promises of God's Word. When you're in a situation where you just need a promise, pray that before God. And that's, I think, for me, memorizing and praying have been two things that have gone together for me. Because in moments where I'm anxious about a situation, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make all your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, I'm in an anxious situation. I'm about to do whatever it may be. You've said if I pray and if I leave that with you, you would give peace in my heart. I'm claiming that in this moment. Okay? That's praying God's word back to him. And it's claiming the will of God in which God will be faithful to answer. Pray truths that you are reading and need to apply to your life. Pray the word. Number six, sing the word. If you read on in Colossians 3:16, where it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, it goes on to say, how? It says, teaching and admonishing in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. Psalm 119, verses 172 says, my tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Music that speaks of the richness of God's grace and mercy, that speaks of his work on the cross, that speaks of his might and power, his forgiveness and his sin, and my standing before him because of his righteousness, those things in music play a significant role in my spiritual walk. Christian music is a powerful part of bringing comfort in time of need, bringing encouragement when we are discouraged, and simply cementing important theological truths into our hearts and minds. And so listen to the word through music. Sing the word through music. Some of you think, I don't have a very good voice to sing. Doesn't matter. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord then, okay? With your voice. God will interpret that as a beautiful thing. We have so much wonderful music that God can use to help the word dwell in us richly. And we need to use that. We need to use that opportunity and that wonderful avenue to allow God's word dwell in us. I was just thinking as a family, at times we've used music to actually help us learn scripture by memory. There's a lot of wonderful resources available today where they're just taking scripture for kids, for teenagers, for adults as well, and just it's put into beautiful music. And I find, and I think for most of us it's true, as you listen to music more and more, you just begin to sing the words. It's just, you're just memorizing the music that you're listening to. And so that's a wonderful way to get the word in you as well. Number 7, and that is apply the word. Psalm 119, verse 34. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Luke 11, 28, Jesus said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. James 1, 22 and 23, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. I was thinking, I'm finding that mirrors are becoming more important the older I get. In more ways than one. And in the last number of years, I don't know what's going on here, but I think I'm beginning to lose feeling in my face because my wife is often pointing out the fact that there's still food on my face after a meal. And what's most frightening about that is I don't know anymore if I have food on my face after a meal. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you will know what I'm talking about one day. And that is why I need to go look in the mirror after I eat, you know, or before I go out. It's what the Word of God does. It's like a mirror. It reveals what's going on in our hearts, and it reveals how we need to respond to Him in whatever situation we're in. It's helping us apply. And by the way, applying the Word is not something we do on our own. Part of the work of the Spirit of God as you spend time in the Word of God is to take the Word and it's to penetrate it where it needs to go. Sometimes you're reading, all of a sudden you're convicted, right? That's the Spirit at work. Maybe a matter of conviction about something you've done that you shouldn't have done or something that you haven't done that you should have done. It may be applying a promise of Scripture to a present concern that you have. It may be an insight into a truth that you've never seen or understood before. Aren't those just the most cool moments? You've read verses for years, and all of a sudden you're reading it again, and boom, the light goes on. Right? That's just the work of the Spirit, applying the Scriptures to your life. And ultimately, this is what we want the Word to do, right? We want it to change us. We want it to transform us. We don't want to just go through the motions of reading a book. We want it to powerfully make a difference in our lives. I want to give you one example of that in the New Testament, which is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm just reading a couple verses to you. And Paul is saying this to the Thessalonica church. And he says, and we also thank God constantly for this, and this is what it is, that when you receive the word of God, the word received is to join to oneself, which you heard from us, you accepted or you embraced or you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you, believers. Okay, it's doing a work. And then it says, for you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus. I think this is just a wonderful little couple verses here, because it's saying, as the Thessalonians applied the word of God to their lives, God used it. He was working it out in them to better reflect his character, as they then, as a result of, then became imitators of Christ Jesus. It's beautiful. See, when the seed of the word is planted in our hearts, it takes root, and as we take precise care of it and apply it to our lives, like that of a newly planted garden, it eventually springs up to bear much fruit. I think we would all agree with the idea that who you spend the most time with is who you will eventually imitate. I'm assuming we, as parents, have said that to our children more times than we'd like to admit. But the same principle is true as it relates to our relationship with the Lord. The more time we spend with him, the more we will imitate him. So remember, the word of God is there to transform us as we apply it to our lives. And then lastly, number 8, share the word. We see we need to know the word so that we can share the word. You can't give away what you don't have and what you don't know. And I'm thinking, if 81% aren't reading their Bible a whole lot, that claim to be born-again Christians, then is it any wonder that people don't know who Jesus is in this culture? And the fact that they haven't heard of him? 1 Peter 3, verse 15 and 16 says, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Listen, one way to share the word is to allow the word to transform you so that people will see how it's changed your life. It's one way to share the word. It's through your life. Psalm 119, verse 74 says, those who fear you shall see me and rejoice. Why? Because I have hoped in your word. And then it is also then, as you're in the word, it's giving testimony to what God has been doing in your life through the word. I just find that people that are really into the word can't help but talk about it. As God is changing them, it just kind of comes out of them. Psalm 119, verse 171 says, my lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. Psalm 119, verse 46 and 47, I will speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame. For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. What a beautiful verse. And so we need to share the word. Let me just close. I was just thinking this week, you know, our theme here at Rothbury Community Church for many, many years has been becoming committed followers of Jesus Christ. I really like that theme. But at the same time, if that theme is going to be a reality in our lives, if we're going to become committed followers of Jesus Christ, then we first of all have to become committed followers of the Word of God. One cannot happen without the other. And so therefore, we must realize that our time in the Word of God speaks to the commitment that we have to God himself. It's kind of humbling when you look at it that way. But your commitment to the Word of God is a barometer of your commitment to the God of the universe. And so therefore, we cannot afford to take this divine book and put it on the shelf. We cannot afford to become apathetic and take for granted this divine book. The God who created the universe has spoken, and he continues to speak to his people today through his word. What a precious gift. And so let us be a people of the word. Amen? And let us stand firmly on the rock of his word. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for the precious gift of your word. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be one of those statistics of that 81%. If we are, Lord, convict us of that. Help us to see the importance of your word. Help us to get into your word. Not just try to make up for lost time and read 50 chapters when we get home, but Lord, just to get in your word because we want to be with you. We want to know more about you, and we want to know more about ourselves. We want to know what your will and way is for our life. For your word has given us everything we need to know about life and eternity. So, Father, I pray that we would be well equipped to understand your word as your people. And then I pray, Lord, as we make that commitment, that you would use your word as you have promised to bear fruit in our lives, to transform our hearts, to make us Christ-like people that our culture will see as being different, but not merely different, but transformed, and a people of hope, because that's what our world is looking for. Lord, have your way in our lives this morning through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.